Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Interesting as Fuck or Interesting AF, depending on if you're listening to this on earphones or out loud, which if you're listening to this out loud in a public setting, you should go to jail. Like, don't.
Straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
Undercooked fish, jail. Overcooked fish, jail.
Not having a phone call on speaker. This is surprising.
Jail.
I mean, can people stop that? I mean,
oh my God.
Come on.
Buy some get some headphones.
Get some headphones or like it's not what our episode is this today. But you know,
especially because we agree on that.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you for the segue. How lovely.
Ew.
Whoa. Today, given that everybody is going to roll into holiday season, we've got a bunch of holidays coming. And I think we did this last year too. We have in the US, we got Thanksgiving, we got Christmas, we got Hanukkah, we got Kwanzaa, we got Eid. I think there's a Muslim holiday in there somewhere. I think like the prophet's birthday or something. I don't know. So something in there. So there's a lot of holidays coming in, and therefore many ways to interact with people that you might not agree with. Mm-hmm. And last year, I think our general sense was, you know what? Everything's kind of tense. Everybody is trying to figure out this environment. And you know what? Protect yourself. If you need to kind of bow out from disagreements, do it. And this year, I think we're coming at it from a little bit of a different perspective.
We still stand by that point where if it's like, if it is unhealthy or really getting you riled up, like protect yourself.
Exactly. However, I think this is like something that we both agree on. I don't think we're disagreeing enough. I don't think we're having the conversations that are not necessarily comfortable and not necessarily productive, because I don't think we know how to disagree anymore, but I also don't think we are in a way talking about our differences that get us beyond and that get us to a better understanding of each other.
And I absolutely think that is, I think there's
where
like
we are.
Two things that come to mind to me on this is a lack of confidence to stand up to somebody who you might disagree with, because maybe you feel like you're not educated enough on where your stance comes from or whatever it is. But also, like you said, the conversation part is gone. We just immediately, and I say we universally, right? Like generally the majority of people these days, the conversation part is missing. They're immediately attacking the person or the idea, as opposed to saying, you know, I disagree with this. Can we have a conversation about it? People are just immediately coming to a conclusion about somebody. And there's levels and degrees of that. Like if you're literally spouting hateful shit, I'm not even going to like waste my energy, but yeah, I'm going to come to a conclusion about you. But if it's something even politically, like that I disagree with somebody on, sometimes I'm more than happy to have a conversation, a respectful conversation, so I can understand where they're coming from. And also 90% of the time when you just jump into it, neither one of you is going to change each other's mind. Because again, you're either attacking that person or immediately attacking the idea when that art of conversation is gone.
Yeah. And I also think very fundamentally, we are linking our opinions to who we are as people. And unpopular opinion. And I'm obviously not from this country originally. And there were a lot of things said to me that were borderline hateful because of things that were happening in the US. And I had to like take a beat and go, why are people thinking this? Why are people thinking these really hateful comments and really hateful things about people they know nothing about? Mm-hmm. And that's the answer. They usually know nothing about them. And I think that, you know, people hate what they don't know. And people just really just very, it's our innate thing to do an in-group, out-group thing. So if I don't know who this out-group is, I'm going to say, oh, they're horrible. And I don't even want to engage. And I don't want to talk to them because their lives are different than mine. And people tend to like go, I want to not engage with that, because that means if they have a different way, does that mean their way is right over mine? When that's not necessarily the case. Everything can be right at the same time, right? It's an and situation as opposed to an or. And I think what we disagree on also matters. Like people's humanity, we don't need to, like, that's not a disagreement.
No one should disagree on that.
No one should disagree. Like, it's not even.
People do, apparently, these days.
People do, but I think it's, again, comes back to the fact that they don't like engage with these people, right? Like, I think they just don't know these people. And there's a lot of people in like specific situations in the world that are like exposed to like Arabs or, you know, North Africans or Asians, or, you know, they don't, you know, are exposed or don't know they are, right? And they don't like really, really engage with that. But I think there's levels of disagreement about policy. There's different disagreements about how you treat other people, right? I think people have a way of doing it. And I think we should be having these conversations more and not equating them to people's self-worth or quote unquote goodness, right? And I think that's the engagement that we have like on social media. Like we have to have a got you moment, or we have to have something that's like pithy or witty, or my wit is like limited to like 5% of my conversations, right? Like, and I think we don't necessarily need to be 100% like secure in a disagreement. We can have conversations and we can learn, right? I think
absolutely.
And that's what we're missing a lot of the time, because I think people want to attack each other because we're kind of primed to be in this like in-group, out-group, like I'm against you, you're against me type of culture. And I do think this is everywhere. I don't think this is specific to the US. I've seen it.
Agreed.
I've seen it everywhere where I've traveled. People are just, it seems like they're keyed up to like, not, and I don't think keyed up to disagree. I think keyed up to like hate each other.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, I don't know if that's too strong of a statement, but it feels
they're
that.
Inviting a fight. It's not a disagreement. They want to fight.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like they're coming in with their fist half cocked behind their head already.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, no, I totally get it. And I think, social media has made it all so much worse, right? Like we're now, our attention span is shorter. We are, it's not 140 characters anymore, but 280 characters. Look, like you said, looking for that gotcha moment, looking for that viral, like comeback bullshit. And because of that, also like it's a platform that encourages you to share your opinions, even if it's not a good one or a hateful one or an uneducated one or an educated one that doesn't even necessarily need to be said. And because of all of this, I think it has also changed the way media covers things, like, or the way the media acts and what they're looking for. So again, like they want that gotcha moment because they also want a viral moment, because everything is breaking news these fucking days. And so it needs to be like, what's the clickbait? What's the punchiest thing we can get? And 99% of the time, it's something that's going to anger a group of people, like regardless of what side you're on. And again, like that just pits everybody against each other, which is why it just feels like there's this like growing chasm between everybody, as opposed to anything that's bringing us all back together. And with what the media isn't standing up for or is standing up for, and how they're reporting things, there's a lot of mistrust. And the belief and trust in sources is also diminished. And so I think this all impacts disagreement, because it's all just become a fight. And to me, like, I will respect somebody so much more instantly if you can admit what you don't know. And you can disagree, like you said, to learn. Like, it doesn't, even if it starts as a disagreement, if you get to a point where you're like, you know what, let me take a step back. Like, I actually don't, maybe I'm talking about something else, or maybe I'm not as educated on this as I thought I was. Can you please educate me? I think I might've talked about this on an earlier episode, just not necessarily about disagreement, but in conversation, like during COVID, one of our best friends who was part of our, like, you know, close quarantine group, one of the very few people that we were hanging out with, we would sit on our front porch, pour some brown liquor, and talk for hours. Like, he's a religious person, I am not. He's Black, I am not. Like, we would have these conversations where he has life experiences that I obviously will never experience. And as a woman, and he's a man, like, same thing. So we would have these conversations, and especially on the religion piece, like, there were a lot of disagreements. But like, a disagreement doesn't have to end in agreement. You can agree to disagree. It's why it's a fucking, like, it's a fucking thing. And just because you're never going to agree doesn't mean you have to hate each other. Like, I don't know. It's all lost.
Yeah. I think it's like a confluence of a lot of things, right? You know, social media, wanting to be viral, wanting to get attention. I think the attention and the social media is a lot linked with our changing in economics. I think people a lot see social media as potentially a way to make money, as a way to like bring their families, you know, in a different social class. I think there's a lot of that. And the system is rewarding that, right? If somebody goes viral, they get all these brand deals and they get all these follows and they get all these things and they can, like, you know, make more money and kind of get, and I think there's a lot of people that, like, their life has completely changed because of their socioeconomic status has changed. So the system is rewarding a certain type of behavior.
Yeah.
When it's not necessarily, you know, what needs to happen. Like, for example, I don't know if you remember, you know, I forget what the show is, but like, they brought a reporter, Mehdi Hassan, and like, he was disagreeing with somebody who was saying like fascism is okay, or like he's a fascist or something. Do you remember that?
I don't.
So basically it was like a big deal. Like, it was a big deal because the guy got fired from his job.
Oh, yes. That was earlier this year.
And yes, then I do remember. People set up a GoFundMe.
To support him.
And I'm like, these are the types of like circular things that happen when, if you're just being rewarded for having a kind of, and I will say this, like, I think, you know, people's definition of political movements are not accurate. They don't understand what they're saying. They don't understand how they're labeling themselves. Like, for example, the New York mayor, not really a socialist. Like, he says he is, but he's not. Like, he's not a socialist. Like, we're political sci majors. Like, I hear him say that and I'm like, dude, you aren't one. Like, and then that guy going like, fascism. I'm like, I don't think you understand what that word doesn't mean what you think it means. Like, it's not, like, I don't think you're using it right.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable. And I think that's, you know, also gets back to the concept of like, when you want to disagree with somebody, make sure your definitions are the same. Because once it's a good place to be like, what do you think the word socialism means?
Yeah.
Like somebody, I was talking to somebody and they were telling me about how what they thought communism meant. And I'm like, and they went through it and I'm like, that's not what it means. Like, that's not its textbook definition of that. And I think people aspire to certain like categories for a numerous amounts of reasons, but like we're using words wrong. I think we're using definitions wrong. I think this comes to the concept of like, I was having a conversation with a guy who was like, yeah, I'm teaching my girls, you know, you liberals, you want to have like gun control and stuff like that, but I'm teaching my girls how to use a gun. I'm like, it's called gun control. It doesn't mean I want to take your gun away.
Right.
Like, I mean, and he's like, oh, I was like, yeah, like, I didn't say take your gun away. I said, I want to have regulations around it as opposed to like it be willy nilly. And like, same thing with like hot button issues like abortion. When you actually talk to somebody and you're like, yes, online, you have all these people that say, you know, they don't accept, you know, exceptions, but most people are on the same spectrum on all these hot button topics. We just have social media and media itself kind of fostering this illusion of like polarization. And I think that's also one of the reasons why we aren't talking, because we assume everybody's like on a certain like wavelength. And just start talking to somebody. Be brave. Be brave.
Yeah. And brave is a good word, because I think it's not all of them, but many of our elected officials are feeding on this to keep us apart because they know it's how they win.
Yep.
And you know, empowering their base and inciting hate. And it's on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 100%. That's not even directed at one side versus another. It's on both sides. And that is designed to keep us apart, which is not how we succeed. We are the United States of America. Like, it's just, we are getting more and more divided, and there's so many forces feeding and fueling the fire to keep us apart, when just, and I think some of it might be like just original outreach. Like, if there's someone in your family or that you're close to that posts something that like upsets you, or just you become curious about it, you don't have to put it in the comments. You can reach out to them, or if it's on social media, like slide into their DMs and say, hey, I'm really curious as to where that position comes from. Can we have a conversation about this? And because I also think like, and I think this is part of the issue during COVID, is where like a lot of not just anger, but like attacks and like the emboldened way people started going after each other. It's a lot easier to call someone a name or to say no, or to say whatever you want when it's behind a computer screen. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not just about starting the conversation and having it over the phone. Grab a coffee, like go out and meet with them, have a drink. And like, maybe if it's going to get real spicy, maybe not alcohol, but like, go for a walk. Like, the best.
Maybe you'll end up making out. I mean, it'll be great.
That'd be the best. Like, I hate you. Let's swap spit. But like, it has been, I've been reading a bit about this over the last couple of years, like going on a walk, especially when you have to have a tough conversation with somebody, is actually the best way to do it, because then you're in person and you're not staring them directly in the face. Like, being side by side with that person actually makes conversations apparently much more open and freeing, because you're not like glaring into their soul or awkwardly trying to look elsewhere to avoid eye contact. You're naturally avoiding eye contact, but you're literally right next to that person.
Yeah.
So like, go for a walk, even if it's just like, if you're in the office and you disagree with someone vehemently, take it offline, go for a walk around the building and say like, hey, can you explain to me like where this comes from? Or, hey, I'd really like to explain to you why I disagree with this, but like, I want to come to a conclusion. Or again, maybe the conclusion is you agree to disagree, but like, you did it respectfully. Like, I think some, like you said, like, people are just coming like half cocked, you know, ready to attack somebody or ready for a fight, mm-hmm. that like, I just, I'm a Sagittarius. I'm also Italian. So I'm like fiery and stubborn as fuck, which I know will be shocking to all of you. But recently I've been trying.
I'm speechless. Yeah, just
shocking, speechless. I know. I hate to break it to you now. But one of the things that I'm trying to be better at is like when it immediately starts to escalate is finding that way to de-escalate, whether it's through comedy, whether it's through sense of humor, whether it's through questions, whether it's through even like, listen, if things start getting heated or if like someone says something in front of you that like, you know, like if you have to make them explain it out loud, like those are the, like just dismantling some of this stuff and diffusing some of it is something I'm trying to get better at and like finding different ways to do that. But like, I think one of the ways to not diffuse, but make it so it doesn't even start off that way is like, what is your approach to someone that you disagree with? Like, I wish every conversation or disagreement was as easy as like Subway takes, right? Like, I know you and I love that, where it's like, all right, bring your hot take and I'm going to tell you if I 100% agree or 100% disagree with it.
I think, you know, maybe we should like DM him and like DM him yes. our unpopular takes episodes. Be like, please have us on. We're going to, please, we have unpopular takes.
I love New York City. Please.
Like it's, I think that's a great thing, right? Like it should all be that easy, but it's not.
It should. Like I will give like one of those fun, easy one disagreements that my husband and I constantly have is we vehemently disagree on the definition of a good head of hair on men. Like, I think he's shocked by how little it takes for women to say a man has a good head of hair, like, or a great head of hair.
Your husband has a great head of hair.
My husband has a fucking great head of hair.
Great. So you're like, your standards are high.
But they aren't. That's the thing. Like, if you have, okay, so this is going totally off tangent, but this is hysterical.
Tell me more.
So the other night, we've got this new movie thing that we're doing. I think I told you about this.
Yeah.
Where we're off TV shows. We're back into movies. We're trying to get through some like the old classics. But we've got this like really fun kind of almost 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of way that we're doing it. So the other night, we watch All the President's Men. Oh. Classic. The Story of Watergate. Robert Redford. Dustin Hoffman. All that.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Oh, R.I.P. Robert.
And that's why he's on our list, because he recently passed away. So you can get on the list if you have passed away. It's like, God rest her soul. Diane Keaton's on the list.
Too soon.
But if you watch a movie, like what, if you watch a movie out of her catalog, if there's someone in the movie you're watching, you want to add, we add that. Anyway, I don't need to get into it. It's getting super complex, but it's super fun and nerdy for us. So Robert Redford, this is the 70s and his hair is like, of course, he's always had a great head of hair. It's long and it's kind of tussled, but it's not styled. To me,
it's like effortless, not yes. trying too hard.
Even Dustin Hoffman, who's got like the like long, like almost feathered, like Farrah Fawcett look going on. To me, I said, those are two men with a great head of hair. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's just good hair. So his thing is like, if there's no effort that's really been put into it, if it's not styled, if it's not like, if it's just there, if it's just a lot of hair on a head, it's just good hair. And I'm like, I don't think you understand, for women, just a head full of hair. Listen, no shade to our gorgeous bald men or balding men. Like, we love you too. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
But like, women's standard of a good or great head of hair, I think, is a lot lower than men expect. And I think that's the disagreement we keep having.
That, I can totally see that.
And his go-to disagreement, which is totally fair, is like, okay, there are just boobs and there are great boobs. There are just butts and there are great butts. To me, that's the same as the hair. And I'm like,
right.
but not quite.
Right.
But the great head of hair and the good hair debate we have constantly. Like, that is a place where we will just agree to disagree, I think.
So me and my husband's eternal disagreement is who is hotter than the other.
Mm.
We'll say, okay. Yeah, we'll say like the Reacher Settler thing.
Like, oh, I used to play that game. I used to play that game with my best friend all the time. We would sit at Zetina outside and we would play. We would play. Oh my God, what did we call it? Oh, who got the better deal?
Yeah, who got the better deal?
And the whole goal in life for us was to be in a draw.
Yes,
right?
Of
course. No one got the better deal. And so people probably thought like we didn't like each other all that much because we would sit there just eating that fucking delicious naan and the dips and everything. Just going heated, cheated, draw, heated. Like we weren't talking. Yeah. We were just waiting for couples to come.
That's awesome. That is such a great game. Who got the better deal? That's such a great. So basically that's our eternal disagreement that I think I'm hotter than him. He thinks he's hotter than me. And we just like.
That means you're in a draw.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would think so. But who knows? I mean, we haven't had external validation on our.
I think you guys are in a draw.
Thank you. He appreciates that. I not so much.
Fair.
So like, you know, yeah, I think there's like disagreement.
You're right. He got the better deal.
Thank you. Thanks. I've blocked out the first 10 seconds of that part of the conversation. But like, I think again, like, and one of the things that I want to say, when you enter a sort of situation where you know you're going to have a disagreement and you know you're going to have thing is assume best intent of the other party.
I have a post-it note that I keep on my computer that says MRI. Most respectful interpretation.
Yes.
To remind myself of that every day.
Yeah. And not that you need an MRI.
I'm not successful at it.
Not 100%, right? I think
same.
There are some people that don't have the best intent, right? I think you also have to, you know and recognize that sometimes people aren't thinking that way and they aren't kind and they aren't, you know. But generally in like the beggar sense, people are trying their best and people have, you know, a sort of intention around these things. And I think that's something that as you go into a disagreement that you should, you know, understand and kind of sit with and be like, yeah, I'm assuming best intent of this person. You know, I'm having the most respectful, like, you know, interpretation of their comments as opposed to thinking they have a gotcha moment. Now, of course, you know, there are some people in the world that just want gotcha moments. There are some people that just want disagreement. They just want unfairness. They want, you know, all this stuff happening. And I think that's okay to be with. And if you can handle having disagreements with them, then by God, go for it. But if you don't, and we started out with this, if it's too toxic for you, step away. You don't have to engage with these people.
No.
And I think that's something that, you know, learning how to kind of gauge who to have a disagreement with and who not to. I think sometimes, like for me, like I'm a contrarian, so I will sometimes just do the opposite of what I think just for shits and giggles. Because I think having a disagreement with somebody actually improves your own logic and your own thought process. Because you go, these are the holes in my argument. Where do I need to improve to say, hey, I need to research something because I didn't know that part. And maybe this is something I need to like do to revise my own opinion. And remember, opinions are not fixed. They evolve. They change. You know, I think we have this concept of like flip-flopping, which doesn't exist. Like it doesn't exist. You constantly have new information where your analysis and your opinion can and should change, right? The history of the world shows this. It's not flip-flopping. Yeah. It's improving. It's going, we have different opinions that we want to have in part involved in our society. So I think you know, don't be afraid to say, hey, it's not a moral failing. And I don't know where we got to this point where, you know, if we changed our minds, if we, you know, kind of evolve, this became a moral failing somehow.
I mean, I kind of can pinpoint in politics where that really kind of first happened, but like, that doesn't mean that that's when it became a thing for like the greater good, right? Like it just,
but I think it does influence that, right? Politics is everything.
For sure.
Like it's in everything we do. And I think it's the most media thing we had seen at first, right? It was media, then celebrity, then like in the influencers and things like that. But politicians actually in like affect us much more than you think they do.
This is one thing I will 100% disagree on with anyone who says it every time. They're like, well, I'm not into politics because it just doesn't impact me. Literally everything you fucking do, including the goddamn air you breathe, is impacted by politics.
Everything.
The streets you walk on, the price of your home, the price of groceries. There is not one goddamn thing that is not impacted by politics. So, or maybe I'll say it differently, policy. There's not one thing in your life that is not impacted by policy. And the politics are what get those people elected to affect and write and vote for that policy. So stop with that argument. It's not true. Every fucking thing you do in your life is impacted by policy. So get educated on who this is. I'm going off on a soapbox a little bit here. Here's my best
deflection
tactic.
Deflection. Or is it
not deflection? No, because when my husband and I are traveling and people find out, or, you know, it's just easier, we say DC, right? So DC area, we'll say. And a lot of times their first reaction is like, oh my God, you all are crazy there. And I'll say, oh, I find it interesting you say that considering you all send them there. And they start laughing and they're like, wait, what do you mean? Or like, you know, even if they get defensive, I'm like, no, but really, like DC doesn't, taxation without representation, DC, right? Like we live and work there. Like we all just deal with the crazy you all send us. And they're like, oh my God, that's right. And so if it become, that usually diffuses like the joke, or which of course I can take that joke. I just love starting this conversation because it's so important. And it usually ends up being a friendly conversation where I'm like, you know, do you know, I will ask them, do you know who your senators are? Do you know who your representative is? And 90% of the time people are like, I have no fucking idea. And I say, don't you see that that's part of the problem? You can bitch and moan all you want about Marjorie Taylor Greene or Nancy Pelosi, but like, if you don't live in the 14th district of Georgia or live in San Francisco in California and get to vote or not vote for them, sorry, there's nothing you can do. So learn who represents you. And I'm talking at every single level. Who's the dog catcher in your fucking town? Who's your town council? Who's your mayor? Who's your first select person? Who chairs the committees? Who's this? Who's that? And yeah, sometimes it can be exhausting, but like those people who get involved at the local level, all politics is local. Tip O'Neill said it. It's the truest thing ever. The people who start at the local level are likely the ones to rise through the ranks to the federal level anyway. So it's very helpful to get, also those people are a lot more approachable. And a lot of times you can affect a lot of change in your own town just by having conversations. I have a couple examples of that. I've made some changes in my town to make it a safer place. But if you don't know who your own representatives are, most people in America probably don't even know how many senators there are in each state. Like they don't know how it works, like how many representatives there are, how many senators there are. Like this is US government 101. Yeah. And I'm not saying you need to be able to pass a government affairs or government affairs 101 test. But you should know who your fucking representative is. And it's very easy to find out. You can go right to the web, find my representative. You will type in your address. If you don't want to type in your full address, just put in your zip code. And it'll tell you who that person is. Then from there, you can very easily find where they stand on issues. Watch the debates. Like, do all of that. But that's one of my like favorite diffusing questions is when people are like, oh, you're from DC. Like y'all are fucking crazy there. I'm like, no, no. In fact, you all send the crazy and we just have to deal with it. And you can spit all you want about crazy from a different district. But if you don't even know who's representing you, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because they are the ones putting together and voting on the policy that impacts every single aspect of your life, your healthcare, the air you breathe, the cost of everything, the food you eat,
the medicine you take,
everything.
And
whether or not you can put a fucking particular plant in your yard, like politics is local and it's everywhere, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And
sorry.
And I will say this, coming from another country, I think Americans, and not to be like a shit, don't understand the amount of information that they have at their fingertips in order to be able to affect policy.
And the privilege it is, mm-hmm. and I don't say privilege in terms of like we're better than everybody mm-hmm. or like meaning like the freedom and the privilege that we have to elect and affect change when there are countries who do not allow that at all, not even remotely, we take advantage of that because people, not the same people, because a lot of people really don't pay attention to politics and they really don't know. But like you're saying, people, there are groups of people and there are people out there who don't want to learn other histories. They don't care about other cultures. And that's one thing. So like there are people who are not exposed to the idea that there are countries that literally they don't have votes.
Nope.
They don't get to speak their mind or at all. So we are incredibly privileged to have this freedom to vote. And I don't give a shit how politicians act or what they say. We as taxpayers pay their fucking salary. We pay their lifetime health covered health care, and they work for us. The buildings that they work in are paid for by us. The roads that we drive on that they vote to fix are paid for by us. Don't forget it. And don't let them forget it. I remind them all the fucking time, very diplomatically, that they work for us. Don't ever fucking forget it. And we have the power to vote them out if they are not working the way that you want them to.
And I think,
end of rant.
Do it. I love it. And I think, you know, and going back to your point originally about, you know, that politics affects everything that we do and that we have the power to change things. I think the mm-hmm. earlier point that you said, they're trying to divide us.
Yes.
In order for things to stay the same.
Yep.
In order not to improve things, in order to like do the least amount. And then, but when we realize, like when people just collectively realize that you have the power to constantly affect change, it's not just when you vote, right? Like vote is like, you know, the end thing, but like I said, there is no other country in the world that has the level of the amount that you can engage yep. with your representative, with your senator, with your constituents, like with all levels in the world as you do the US. And I think a lot of people take that for granted. I think they think just because you have the information like is all. And I'm like, you can do shit with it. It is a part. Politics is a participation sport. It's not.
Damn right.
It's not just you going, I'm going to post on social media, though. I have to say social media is now also a tool for like
sure.
public opinion, but it's not all of it. And I think people forget that it's a participation sport. And if you don't participate, things
we happen. Fail.
That you don't like.
We lose. We lose as the American voter, American citizens, like we, American taxpayers, we lose. Regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, we all lose.
And also, let's not let people be defined by who they vote for.
Yep.
Because some people take a set of facts and analyze it differently than you do. Fine, yep. you don't have to agree with it, but you know, it's not necessarily, you know, what happens. And I think that's something that you really need to think about, you know, very, very specifically.
Oof, I'm riled up. But like in a good way. I'm energized.
Yeah.
I'm energized.
Exactly. And I think, you know, all this is to say, you know, make sure come holidays, make sure you are having open conversations, discussions, disagreements in a respectful manner, in a way that is open and in a way that is good for people. And that
have a conversation,
and not a fight. You don't need to have a fight. And when you see it going into a fight, you're like, you can say, hey, I think we're both getting emotional. You know, we're both getting like, you know, heated about this. Maybe we should take a beat.
We're talking in circles.
Or we're talking whatever. And just, you know, hug it out, man. Hug people. I think we need more hugs.
Yes.
People need more hugs.
More contact.
Yeah. More contact. And I think that, you know, that is something we need to recognize. And it's not a bad thing to disagree with people. I think it's good.
I think
we learn.
It's not.
But again, and I, with a big asterisk, with if it gets toxic, if you feel unsafe, you don't owe those people anything. You don't owe those, you know, people your opinion. You owe yourself safety. But if you are in a place and a privileged place to be able to have open conversations, do it. You'll be the richer for it, I think.
Amen, sister.
And I think with that, with our agreement on that, practice what you preach. We just need to disagree for something. I don't know. Like,
we'll try and find.
Maybe that's a next episode we should do. We should do like just disagreement live and just like disagree on something and just like talk it out and get somewhere.
Yeah, we'll have to find. Yes, well, let's find something we disagree on.
Yeah,
and then we'll go from there.
Homework for us. But I do think we have, you know, we have for like our next few episodes, we have, you know, our topics, you know, lined out. And I think, you know, Elaine, if you want to tell us what our next doc is in is.
Sure. So this one's a bit of a rough one, but we're going to stay with submersibles this week. This is the absolutely horrible, but like just very interesting story of the murder of, reporter Kim Wall. Mm-hmm. I won't say more than that. But it on Netflix, in the United States, it is on Netflix. It's called Into the Deep, the submarine murder case. And it is, you know, in kind of keeping with submersibles, but also it will help set up our next discussion for our regular episode. But it is a true crime. It is a murder case. So I will throw out some trigger warnings. It is rough, but a fascinating story, if I can say that, nonetheless. And yeah, so I will be interested to revisit that one. And Linda, you may need to take that one in pieces, but
I will.
But I did, of course, this got approved, or yes. You know, Linda has allowed this. So
I will microdose this.
Microdose.
I will microdose this right. One. Yes. I think that's kind of where we want to, you know, go. I'll just slowly watch it. And then when I get too anxious or too into it, like I might just go away and then maybe we'll have a, what
we've
the fuck
got
meter.
A week. We've maybe got a week to watch it. So
what the fuck meter where I will, you know, watch the whole thing at once. So let's see. But yeah, otherwise I think, you know, that's going to be a great documentary. That story has really, you know, always fascinated me. I think that's where we'll go. And let us know what you think, obviously, of this episode, of the disagreements you've had, the ones that you've gotten out of and the ones you haven't. I think with that, I will kick it. Elaine, take us out.
Stay interesting.